Well, we're definitely hearing a lot about immersion, and so it's nice that we heard from Japan and Nicaragua and Bangladesh, and now we're moving into the United States, and specifically North Carolina. My name is Sonda Opawal, and I was project director for a project that I'm sharing with you today about externships, specifically with the intent to try to improve the number of our students that work in community-based settings that serve as safety net healthcare agencies, basically. And I want to recognize my co-authors, and Chris Harlan is a faculty member in the School of Nursing at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with me, and she was our faculty agency liaison for this project. I served as project director, and Sue Young is one of our doctoral students in nursing who, because I had a little extra money, was able to help with the data analysis in this last summer as we were evaluating the whole project. So I want to make sure that I give good credit to them. And I have no financial relationships to disclose, as most everyone in the room probably no longer has either. So the objectives for this session are threefold, and that is to describe this nursing student externship project, which I hope is a model that will continue to foster interest in public health settings. Second, to share with you some of the outcomes that we use to evaluate it. And third is to discuss strategies to help sustain similar nursing student externships in public health settings. And this project was funded by the Kate B. Reynolds Charitable Trust, which is a private foundation in North Carolina, and they fund a certain number of healthcare-related projects. So we're very indebted to them. Oops. So why do this project? This came about actually back in 2003. We submitted it in 2004, and I don't think I need to preach to this choir group here because we all know about the number of health disparities, but in 2003, 2004, there were two major reports that came out in North Carolina that the Institute of Medicine did. One was in relation to Latino health, and that really showed that a number, due to demographic changes, which was one of the other reasons, we had an increase of Latino population of 400% in our state from 1990 to 2000. Also, at the same time, we had a failing grade by our state with Health and Human Services for African American health, that the disparities there were at least twice as likely for African Americans dying early, from infant mortality to prostate cancer to heart disease, and 10 times in relation to Caucasians for dying of AIDS. So there was this kind of immersion of a lot of health disparity issues being discussed. Demographics, again, we had a huge change in the number of Latinos in our state. Certainly, we also had a dire shortage of public health nurses, as all of you are well aware with that. And if you haven't seen the report that the Quad Council put together, it's online at the APHA website. I'd encourage you to take a look at that. It has some very relevant information to our public health nursing shortage. So all in all, what we needed was better prepared nursing workforce, especially to deal with poor, underserved, racially, ethnically diverse minority populations. And that was the intent of our project, basically, to try to provide some creative partnerships between academia and clinical agencies that would help foster that immersion experience and a desire to continue working in those agencies that many of our students do not tend to go to after they graduate. What we set out to do was to try to provide summer externships for 34 students. And we kind of took that number out of the hat, if you will, over a three-year project. But the idea is, because we had a required summer externship for our undergraduate students, so that this was BSN students between their junior and senior years, we wanted to provide stipends for them such that they would work in these safety net provider agencies, and they had to put in 200 hours. So in year one, summer of 2005, our goal was to have 8 externs. In 2006 and 2007, our goal was to have 13 each. Overall, our goal was to increase cultural competence, which again has been a theme of this session. And we also wanted to provide service to underserved communities, because the agencies that were selected for the externships all served basically poor people, high Medicaid or uninsured population, and very ethnically diverse, and some in very rural communities. We also wanted to increase the number of students who chose to work in those community-based settings. In terms of that summer externship, our curriculum at UNC Chapel Hill requires a 200-hour externship between the junior and senior years. At least that's how it was for 05 through 07. And often that is the first time that students really are working in a healthcare agency for pay, on the whole, because they need the money to pay their bills for their food, their tuition, and so they actually get paid in the externships. And we knew that the majority, the very vast majority of our students would choose to work in hospitals in large acute care settings because they were paid. And those acute care settings had the infrastructure for setting up these externships and providing the compensation for them for that 200 hours. So the majority of our externs worked as nursing assistants. They already were approved to do so in our state based on the first year in the nursing major that they had under their belts. We wanted our externships for this project, though, to be those safety net provider agencies, because we had heard from students that they wanted to work in health departments or community health centers, but you know, they couldn't get paid, and they didn't have a way to do that. Those agencies didn't know anything about any kind of externships. So the application that we submitted, fortunately, was funded. And for this three-year project, we had $95,890 from this private foundation. We also had additional financial support from our North Carolina AHEC program office, such that they provided three externship stipends for the 3 years. We had in-kind support for my time and very minimal personnel costs on the whole. We did pay for our agency faculty liaison for the 3 summers at about 50% of her time. And like 10% of my assistant's time, because the money had to filter through the university to the agencies. That was not our preference. Our goal was to keep this as very close to an employer-employee relationship for the students. But the Kate B. Reynolds Foundation did not want their money taxed. So we had to be very creative in terms of how we dealt with that. In terms of what we used the money for, the vast majority really went to the students. We decided to pay them $12 an hour for up to 200 hours, and we wanted that to be competitive with what they were making in a hospital setting. And then we also reserved some money such that every extern could have $300 to work with their agency for a health promotion project, because we also wanted this to be somewhat population-based in addition to whatever the agency wanted them to do. In terms of our project team, just in case you want to replicate this model, my time was approximately 5%, which was pretty minimal. But I was responsible for oversight of the project, for its evaluation and reporting to the funding agency on an annual basis. I also helped with the development of the memorandum of agreement that we developed between the agencies and our School of Nursing and the students for this project. Our undergraduate program director basically helped with student recruitment, because she talked to all of the students about their externships and where they were going to go. So we needed her invested in this project in order to publicize it. Then Chris, as our faculty agency liaison, worked approximately 50% in year one We had budgeted her position at 40% year two and 30% in year three, just during the three summer months. And she really worked more like 50%, probably more like 60% in the first summer, and more like 50 and 40%. So we had under-budgeted that and fortunately had enough wiggle room to make up for that. But her role was really to help recruit the students, work out the agency contracts, get the agencies involved. Once we knew who was going to be involved, we tried to match up their interests with the agencies. Then our project assistant, who really just helped with the financial funneling of the money to the students through the university and paying out those expenditures for the health promotion projects. And then I had a graduate assistant who really just, I think I had enough money to pay her for about 80 hours for one summer, the last summer. And she helped with the data analysis. Okay, so how did we recruit externs? Basically, we sent email messages to them. We had flyers posted. In the first year, I think we put a flyer in all of their mailboxes, and then we offered three orientation sessions the first summer. In years two and three, we only offered really about two, because interest at that point kept rising pretty well. We also had a brief application so that we knew why they wanted to do this, because we weren't sure how, if we'd have to select or not select. Fortunately, in the first summer, we had, our goal was to have 8 externs. We had 14 who submitted an application, but as it got closer to the time, several of them dropped out, such that we had exactly 8. It was just kind of like a miracle. In year two, we had 26 people who expressed interest, and so we did actually have to select. And we did that with the input of the previous externs, because we wanted the students involved in this, and we didn't want to be doing that ourselves. So certainly word of mouth worked very well for us. Our externs from the first summer created a poster display, and that was in a prominent position on the ground floor of our building so that other people could find out about it. They were seeing it. And we really didn't have any difficulty recruiting in year two. In year three, which was the summer of 2007, we did have more difficulty in relation really to the gasoline costs that were rising then, because this did require additional driving on the part of the students unless they could work out some kind of living arrangements with the agencies. Okay, where were we? Basically, we had 8 new agencies in 2005, and then we added 3 new ones in 06 and 07. So in years 2 and 3, we did use some of the same agencies as we had in 2005. On the whole, we used health departments across the state, from the east side to the west side of our state, and several in the Triangle area. We also used a migrant farm worker outreach program, and that's what caused a lot of driving, because that was in Wake County, which is in Raleigh, and they did the whole county. So, and because in order to see them do health promotion with migrants, you had to do it in the evenings, the timing of that was such that they would often leave in the afternoon and not get back until, you know, midnight or 2 a.m. So that was tough. We also used the Chapel Hill Carborough school system. The extern started in May before the academic year ended, and then they continued in the summer until they had their 200 hours. And also we used one senior center. The agency challenges that we had with getting placements there basically included concern about liability. I know all of you are familiar with that. And in fact, one local health department did not participate with us. We were quite disappointed in that, but they viewed the blurredness between employee and student as just too difficult for them to wrap their heads around, I guess, with their county agency attorneys. We had to help the students make sure that they were in compliance with immunizations, HIPAA, CPR, et cetera. It was challenging for Chris to really figure out who to go to within the health department or the community health center between the administrators and the clinicians that were going to actually supervise the externs. And so that was a bit of a challenge. It got a little easier over time. The memorandum of agreement I think was really important. It really specified out what the agencies were responsible for, what the School of Nursing was responsible for, and what the students were responsible for, and each party signed off on that. Despite that, there was still some confusion, however, among the agencies really about what the role of the externs were. You know, what was it? Were they an employee or were they a student learner? And talk more about that in a little bit. And while all the agencies were quite enthusiastic about this program, very few could really support and sustain the project. Okay, now talking about outcomes of this project. We basically were pretty successful in getting enough student externs to the project. Certainly for years 1 and 2, we did get the number of externs, and they did the number of hours of 200 hours. In year 3, however, we had, instead of 13 externs, we had 12, and then one a week before dropped out because she decided she just couldn't do the driving for the farm worker migrant project. So in essence, then we had 32, so we did get 94% of our goal. And all in all, they completed over 6,300 hours of work. So quite a large amount of work over the 3 summers. As you recall, one of our goals was to try to increase cultural competence. What we chose was a 23-item quality and culture quiz that is online. It's the provider guide to quality and culture quiz. It's supported by the Bureau of Primary Health Care in part. I don't know that I would use that one specifically again, but it was convenient. And so we had the externs do this before they started and then afterwards. And fortunately, the post-test scores did improve. We chose that online project, online quiz, because it gave the students the opportunity to have additional resources on their own. But we didn't do any structured learning related to cultural competence during the course of their externship. Again, this was very independent on their part. However, in the structured exit interviews that I conducted with all of the externs, and I did use a structured template of open-ended questions, the themes that came out of that was that they had greater comfort level with Latino families. They definitely had improved their Spanish speaking abilities. They were very comfortable using an interpreter as a result. And overall, that they just felt a lot more comfortable and better prepared to deal with people of diverse backgrounds. So one of the common themes was in terms of psychosocial and communication, that they really felt like they could put at ease someone in the exam room, which was pretty valuable to them as a learning opportunity. In terms of providing service, we had the majority of the externs, the role that they took on in the health departments and the community health centers was that of a nursing assistant or a medical assistant or a community health assistant, depending on the location that they worked at. And they, on average, saw between 20 and 24 clients a day. So over the 3 years, they did assist over 17,000 clients. In terms of that primary role of being an assistant, they helped obtain the chief complaint, usually took the vital signs, had already set up the exam room, took the family, the patient or the family to the exam rooms, assisted with labs and procedures. And that's where they were able to do a lot of, even in that course of that short amount of time, they were able to do some one-on-one health education. And we were pleased that 29 of the 32 externs did do at least one health promotion project. That varied by site. One of our externs developed a rabies prevention program in Buncombe County, which is in the Asheville area of North Carolina. Another developed a brochure about immunizations that was translated into Spanish. We had 2 externs who worked with the migrant farm worker project, and what they did was develop an outreach immunization program related to giving TD, tetanus, and MMR vaccines to the migrants, which was very innovative because they did that above and beyond their externship hours. In terms of the satisfaction of the externs, I'm pleased to say that the vast majority were very satisfied with the experience. So 27 of the 32 said they were very satisfied. 3 were satisfied and 2 were not satisfied. And digging into that reason, it really was the long driving that they had to do with the migrant project. Almost all of them said that they appreciated the experience, that they definitely had a better understanding of what public health was all about, and that they would really like to work in that kind of setting at some point in the future. Many of them saw nurse practitioners and got to observe nurse practitioners, and while their direct preceptor, if you will, was actually another assistant, they all, vast majority, wanted to emulate being a nurse practitioner at some point. And the other thing that really came out of the interviews was this sense that they liked the work environment of the health departments and the community health centers, that they felt valued there as a team member. Often they would say things like, it was a refreshing change from the hospital setting, where, you know, I'm just kind of a, you know, peon here, but in this setting, people listened to me and they asked me what I thought. And so I don't know if that's in relation to the type of people who work in health departments and community health centers or due to the smaller nature of the setting, but it was a very recurrent theme, and I think one that's really important for us to articulate, because workforce environment is such an important topic to nursing, and they found that so satisfying, was being part of that team and feeling very valued. Several of them commented on how the agency personnel gave them a party when they left, and they were like, wow, they brought in a cake for me, you know, and it just seemed to be something that they had not experienced so far in their clinicals in a hospital setting. And again, another recurrent theme was this issue that, you know, my peers, while they worked as a nursing assistant in a hospital, probably got more experience, you know, doing bed baths and maybe some dressing care, but I'm really better prepared now with communication. And they recognized the value of the psychosocial, and they had a really good understanding that the technical skills could wait, and that they would develop those two later, but that this was of value to them because they could really help get their clients at ease and communicate with them more effectively. In terms of some unexpected outcomes of our project, we found that 13 of the 32, or 41%, actually volunteered after the externship ended, or they were asked to remain and were paid a little bit in a paid capacity for part-time through the rest of the summer. They did their externship. Some of them did 40 hours in a week. Others did 20 hours, so they were quite flexible in the way they did that. And at least 6 of the externs were asked to apply for an RN position when they graduated, which wouldn't have been yet for another whole year. Now, this was not in my structured questions, but so this was just generated through the interviews that they offered this. So it could have been actually a few more students, but at least this is the number that offered that. So in reflecting on the value and the impact of this externship experience, by far most students rated it as successful. The agencies, I also sent out a survey via email for them to complete, and by far they also rated it as very successful. The students all said, almost all of them said, that this would impact their work in nursing and that they wanted to work in this setting. However, they didn't think that they would do this right away, that they had already learned that they needed to hone their clinical skills before going into that kind of setting. They also almost all knew that this would be a low-paying job. And they made comments like, I'm going to want to do this in the future if my family financial situation will permit it. So in a time of shortage right now, I think it's, you know, important to listen to that. And we need to do as much as we can to try to, you know, improve the salaries in some of these settings, or we're going to really lose otherwise people who have a desire to work in public health settings. But the reality is that they can't afford it. And so I was amazed over and over again. I kept hearing that they already knew it was low paying, but it would be a great place to work, and I really want to do it, but only if I can afford to do it. Again, those students felt very valued as a team member. It was a refreshing change. The agencies also appreciated the enthusiasm that this externs brought in and the fresh ideas that they brought, so it infused them a little bit more, challenged them to maybe do some different things. And almost all of the agencies wanted to continue the externship, but they couldn't commit to the whole $2,400 per summer, which is what we were paying out for them to be there. So some could do less than that, but very few, only one, really said that they would be able to continue it. So again, these are some of the barriers that I've already discussed. The challenges with this externship, one of the main ones just had to do with the agencies really differed in how they perceived this. Some viewed it as a learning experience and some viewed it as an employee, and they put the student to work like any other employee. Now the students talked to each other about this, and so there was some dissatisfaction among a couple students if they really wanted more of a learner experience, meaning that they got to experience different aspects of the role of the nurse, say in the health department. Whereas others, you know, they did the medical assistant role for their 200 hours. So we had to try to explain to the externs, the agencies are going to do what they need for you to do, and you're going to have diverse experiences. And we tried to explain to the agencies about it, but it was pretty interesting to us that the agencies, even with year three, continue to use different roles for the students, some from the learner side and some more from the employee side. In terms of sustainability, basically, fortunately, this past summer, we didn't have the money, but we had, I think, three students that did go back to some of these agencies that we had used. Chris continues as a clinical instructor to facilitate this, and we continue talking to the agencies about having externships. Our School of Nursing changed its requirement such now this is no longer a summer experience because we admit students in our undergraduate program twice a year. So it's 100 hours, and so that's bringing in some differences, which is fine. And so some of these agencies we're hoping can do this a little bit more. We're also volunteering. The students are willing to volunteer if possible, if they can afford it. And we're trying to continue to seek additional support and funding. So that's the project, and I look forward to your questions. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Saunders, for sharing another great innovative project. So this afternoon we've heard four exciting innovative projects that really has brought a lot of questions for me, but I'm not going to take up the time to ask all of my questions. I want to at this time give all the presenters a hand of applause for doing such a great, great job. And if anyone would like to ask any questions right now, you can do so.
Good afternoon. My name is Pat Iyer. I'm from Boston. And I'm in a graduate program right now. And part of the graduate competencies include 200 hours, actually, of clinical preceptorship, one each semester in the second year. And one of the things that I would like to do is to do an internship abroad. So I guess I was wondering if I could ask the presenters, how can a graduate student go about, because this is something you have to make arrangements with on your own as opposed to an undergrad that kind of, you know, there's a process involved, but how, what best way to go about doing that, we have to start doing it now for 2010.
Who would you like to address, all of them or just anyone?
Who can answer the question? It's fine.
Ladies.
I think I could come up here.
Yes.
One suggestion, they have you, this school, this, your university has you develop the projects yourself? Then I would develop a proposal with exactly what I want to do. So if you know where you want to go, and I assume it's in public health?
Yes.
So the world's kind of your oyster, and where is it you'd like to go? And then I would talk about comparison and contrasting with the American system, so that you can learn about one system and do some comparisons, or more than one, but probably only time for one. They should be excited about something like that, I would think.
I know exactly what I want to do.
I would write it right up.
I don't know how do you contact a university? Do you contact,
where do you want to do it?
Actually, Japan.
Well, we have a contact here for you. We have a contact for you. We also have a contact at another school. You know, that we are. So that this would be your first very important contact.
Yeah, you can contact, depending on what you want to do, like Catholic Relief Services does projects, there's all sorts of groups who go into these countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right. Are sort of able to help schools with all sorts of things. So you can contact them through
that.
In any study abroad program at your own university, check with those guys.
You have to have an advanced nurse, an advanced practice nurse preceptor.
That could be an issue. Does it have to be a nurse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like Catholic charities, or I don't know what their affiliations are, but you know, affiliations like that have groups that go with. There might be a doc, a practitioner, all sorts of people who go with. You can partner with one of them.
That's true. Phil has an idea.
Another option. Check with your university, see if they are a Fulbright participant.
That's a great idea, Phil.
Because Fulbright will pay for being there for you. And you structure it according to their guidelines. And it would be a research format. And they will do that for any student, either as an undergraduate, after, you know, as you're graduating,
you can find out information about that as well online, Fulbright Scholars.
Right.
Boston College or Boston University?
Project. Yeah, Rotary International has a foundation that sponsors a lot.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
Rotary International.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I have a question for Sonda. Is it okay if I ask y'all from here?
Yeah,
all right, thank you.
Who said?
Was there a magic number of distance? Like, how many miles from Chapel Hill would they go?
Was there a breaking point in terms of those travel? Well, in year three, I'd say the breaking point was 60 miles.
Okay.
On the whole. But we also did try to match up agencies. So if the student lived in Wilmington on the beach or lived in Asheville, then we tried to find the agency to accommodate where they could live to decrease the travel. But for the migrant farm worker, it seemed like everybody lived in Chapel Hill and they were traveling to Wake County. But then there was another 60 miles of travel every night. So it was a lot of traveling.
Follow-up question, but it's totally different. But I'm assuming that part of your issues were the difference between a preceptor role and an employee role. And was that the negotiation you had to do in terms of what was legally possible?
Yes.
To do
yes. Because we wanted this to be very much like an employer-employee relationship as the other externships. There's course credit related to the externship, but it's pretty blurred, and really it's to help the students with their professional development, leadership, delegation skills, but they're all required to find an agency on their own that they work with, and of course they want to get paid if they're spending that amount of time and effort.
Thanks.
So.
Yes, as well to Sonda. Did you have a criterion for the students to be able to speak Spanish prior to participation in, especially with migrant farm workers, because you do talk about improved Spanish speaking
right.
skills?
Right. It was not a criteria. Once we knew who really wanted to do this, then we tried to work with them to figure out where they most wanted to go. And so we tried to match them then if they wanted the migrant farm worker experience. Most of those externs did have fairly good Spanish skills. But most of the other externs did not, who worked in the health departments and the community health centers that served a huge number of Latino clients. And that's where they didn't have to have Spanish ahead of time, but they learned enough Spanish. Often they would say, by the end of this, you know, I could ask all my questions to assess and get the chief complaint and put them at ease and, you know, just be able to deal with the family members that came as well. So.
I have a follow-up question as well. In regard to, we all know that we have a drastic need for public health nurses. So I guess my concern is if they had little perceived interaction with registered nurses who are in public health nursing roles, how can, or what are your thoughts about improving that? If they're in an externship position where the focus is to get paid rather than to become a public health nurse, then I guess my concern is what are we giving up here? Frankly, I'd rather they want to be public health nurses than nurse practitioners.
Right.
At least they have to start someplace. Eventually they can become nurse practitioners, but they, I really believe they need exposure to the registered nurses
right.
who are in those roles.
Yeah, I don't have the breakdown of the number of externs that actually worked in public health department settings with public health nurses. We had partnered with a federally qualified health center, and so they had six clinics, and a number of our students went to those clinics where that's where the RN who was there really was more in an administrative position, and that's where they saw the role of the NP more. But even in the health departments, they tended to work in clinics like family planning clinic or maternal child health. And interestingly, what I heard was not so much public health nurse that they worked with. Again, it really varied by health department on that. But I would agree with you. But we were pleased that they all recognized the importance of public health and that they valued that kind of setting, even though it wasn't maybe in the traditional sense.
Yes, the students are responsible for paying for it. We are fortunate that we have some foundation money that can, if we have a grade criteria that the students can apply, but they can only apply for one prep. And so they do a lot of fundraising. And, and once again, our campus ministry has us all organized. They have letters that go out, and they help the students a great deal.
But this trip would only cost about $1,200.
Yeah, last year was under $1,000.
Yeah, that is the airfare that Jeff drives it, so yeah. Their fundraising doesn't have to be that extensive. Yeah. And their tuition, of course, is a separate issue, but for the actual cost of the experience, it's less than $1,200.
How long were you there?
It's a week. And really, you're in the community probably for 5 days because it's so rural that it takes a full day to travel there. And then a full day to get back. So you really lose that time. So it's really quick.
And in Bangladesh, how long were you there?
3.5 weeks.
That's wonderful. I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah. And that's their funding then covered their room, their board, all in country travel, all the interpreters, their fees at IUB, and their airfare.
And the airfare?
Yeah.
And that was $3,500
includes the airfare.
That was a $3,500?
Yeah.
That's.
It's about 38 this year because of the rise in airfares.
Yeah, so I mentioned to you, we had students who came back from Uganda and Ghana and other places last summer, and they said the same thing your students said. They started giving away all stuff because they thought they had so much in comparison to the folks that they were interacting with. So, great experience.
Do you have any other questions this afternoon?
Okay. I have a question for Sasha. Can you describe the prevention circle, the circle of prevention?
Circle of prevention.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to use a mic?
The circle of prevention. Mm-hmm.
In Japan, public health nurses create several projects, model projects. And among them, some of them, people, residents continue the surgeon project. The prevention circle is managed by residents. And they have a public center, community center, and invite frail elders to come once 2 weeks. And is that okay? Once 2 weeks. And then elders come together and meet together and avoid to shut themselves inside. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? No? That concludes our session this afternoon. Thank you all for attending. Thank you.